Amen. It's good to see everybody out for the homebrew meeting tonight. And it's good to have our four grandkids with us tonight. And so it's always a pleasure. Amen. The Word of God says, how can you lead the church of God if you can't lead your family? And so I'm just always enjoyable and very pleased when our grandkids are coming. They come to a homebrew meeting. It always blesses my heart. Amen. Well, let's go ahead and get into what the Lord has for us today. We'll be looking at Wilderness Truths for Modern Times, number 79. But before we get into that, let's go ahead and what we usually do is we kind of look back at what review of what we looked at last time we were together, and to point our spirit and get our heart in the right direction. And there was a number of things that we looked at last time that was really, really good in the foundation for the wilderness of Beersheba. We are in Beersheba. We were in Moab for a while. We were in Bethaven for a long time. But now we are in the wilderness of Beersheba. Amen? So let's go ahead and look at those things that we looked at last time. I think we have about 10 points that I got that I'd like to quickly go through. The first one is we have looked at seven wildernesses. So far we've looked at seven wildernesses. All divine arranged spiritual setups to personally teach us lessons, to teach us lessons. And so that's what the wilderness, Wilderness Truths for Modern Times is about. It is about spiritual divine arrangements, spiritual setups that God has put in our way as we look at the wilderness journey of the children of Israel to personally teach us and train us. The things that we looked at, they weren't just stories, they were personal things, personal setups, and I would believe that the church would adopt and would really look at the spiritual teachings, that they would learn a lot of lessons. It's very, very, very critical. The second point is the benefit of these wildernesses are for only those that have received the lessons. The benefit of these wildernesses, these seven wildernesses that we've looked at, are only for those that have received the lessons. The people that did not receive the lessons, the people that did not take into their heart what I have said over these many years, they have wasted their time. They have wasted their time. Just like the children of Israel, they did not learn the lessons that God had for them, and they wasted their time. That entire generation wasted their time, and it was the second generation that went in and had to conquer the promised land. Amen. Point number three is we look, we started to look at the wilderness of Beersheba. And we looked at Hagar being sent out into the wilderness to wander. And we looked at the word wander, and that's what we looked at last time. Wandering is very, very important in our spiritual journey. Let me say that again. Wandering is very, very important in our spiritual journey. Wandering is the first of many aspects encountered that teach us many lessons. Let me say that again. Wandering is the first of many aspects of encountered that teach us many lessons. Sweetheart, can we keep the kids from running around? Thank you very much. Wandering is designed by God to bring us to the realization of our inadequacies and that they have no clear, certain direction apart from God. Amen? Wandering is designed by God to bring us to the realization of our inadequacies and that they have no clear, certain direction apart from God. Number six, but the wandering also relates to the believer. Amen? Wandering also relates to the believer. So the non-believer, the wandering is something that God uses to bring us to the end of ourselves, bring us to the end of our abilities and our strength to where we can find God. And also this wandering is very important that it brings us as a believer, relates to the believer, to one who has been trusting in the Lord also and already. And that is a very, very important point. As we wander, as we go by step by step, and the Lord leads us and guides us and He teaches us and He works in our life. And wandering is also very important in that prospect. Amen? Number seven, wondering leads to discovery. Wow. Wondering leads to discovery and to light, which are found in darkness and the hidden treasures of secret places. And we saw that in Isaiah 45:3. That the discoveries in God are in the darkness. They're in hidden places. Let me say that again. The discoveries in God are in darkness. It's not in the unknown. It's not out there where you can just pick it up on the ground. But those hidden treasures of secret places, the answers in God, the treasures in God are in hidden, they're hidden, they're in secret places. And you have to, find them in the wondering. And last time I shared the story of the Turkish fort in Bulgaria and how it was just amazing. I'll never forget the sensation as I was painfully going through that little tunnel. All of a sudden, God just started filling my head with all these thoughts and all of these. It was just, it was like God opened up my head and just drilled all of this information, and it was just flowing through me. It was just amazing in the darkness there. Number eight, wondering brings us to the first, to the first truth. To the first truth. And that is the end of ourself and our abilities and our strength. When we are wondering, when we're out there and we're striving in ourselves and all of these things, God will allow that to happen in our life, so we'll go ahead and bring us to the end of ourselves and our abilities. Because at the end of ourselves is when God can use us. Let me say that again. When we come to the end of ourselves and the end of our abilities and the end of our strengths, that's when God can use us, and not until. I would say most of the church today is doing things in their own strength and in their own abilities. God is not, moving in churches and stuff like that because the Spirit of God is not there. You go to most churches, there's not the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is not found in saying. It's not found in all of the promotions and all of the music and stuff. That's not the Spirit of God. But the Spirit of God is not in most churches. And that's because most churches have a program and they work, they work the soulish things up and all of this good stuff, and it's just not of God. We need to come to the end of our strength, the end of ourself, the end of our abilities, and that's where God is. Point number nine, wondering brings us to the second truth, and that is what, we saw that in John 15:5. For without me, we can do nothing. Without me, we can do nothing. Most Christians think they can do it. I mean, I hear so many Christians say, I can do this and I can do that, and you got the power, I got the power, we got the power, we can do all that. Well, Jesus says, I have no power, I have no ability, I have no strength except for what the Father gives me. Amen? And the tenth point is, we will never discover truth unless we are shown where to look for it. Amen? You will never ever discover truth. You will keep looking and looking and looking here and looking there, but you have to be shown. God has to show you so that you can discover truth. God has to do that. I can't do that. No person can do that. But God must show us. And unless we allow Him to show us where to look, because again, where are the truths found? They're in darkness. They're in those hidden places. And so God must be able to show us that. Well, we won't find those truths that we need unless we do a little bit of wondering and come to the end of ourselves. So tonight, let's go ahead and get into Wilderness Truth for Modern Times, number 79. And our text we're going to look at is Hosea 2:14, which is kind of a minor prophet here, but it's kind of strange. And here Hosea says, therefore, behold. Now, anytime you see that word behold, that word behold means three things. It means stop, look, and pay attention. So anytime you're reading the Bible and you see that word behold, then this is what you need to do. You need to stop. You need to stop reading so you don't keep on reading, right? You get to behold, you stop, and you look around. You look around in the Scripture, and you pay attention to what's being said. Behold is one of those words that we just kind of read through but that is an action word, and God wants us to stop and pay attention because there's something, you know, there's something here that's very, very important. So therefore, behold, stop, look, pay attention. I will allure her. Now, I like that word allure because I'm a fisherman. And I like to go out there and I like to use lures. Don't use live bait because, you know, most fishermen use live bait, but I don't like live bait. I like to use that lure and I'll throw it out there and I will get the fish to bite that bare hook. And by alluring her and tricking her and kind of confusing that fish and getting her. So I will trick her. The word allure there means to trick. And bring her into the wilderness. Wow. Wow. So God wants to, will trick us and bring us to the wilderness if he has to. But God's goal is to get us into the wilderness. That's what God wants. He wants to get us into the wilderness. And I will trick her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfort unto her. So where is the comfort of God found? According to this verse right here, it's in the wilderness. So unless you are in the wilderness, and we know wildernesses are tough times, you know, areas in our life that are very difficult, hard for us to handle in our strength, but we can't. So we got to move in the strength of God. So when we are in these very, very difficult times, then God has to speak to us, and then God is able to speak comfort to us. Amen? So tonight what we're going to do is we're going to look at despair. We're going to look at despair. Amen. Between the wandering and the discovery, there are two key aspects. Let me say that again. Between the wandering and the discovery, there are two key aspects. Before the first discovery can be made in your wandering, you will need this first key. And the first key to discovery is despair. Wow, despair. What an awful key. It is too horrendous and personal to be viewed as a key, let alone used by anyone. But despair is only despair if you allow it to control your life. Let me say that again. Despair is only despair if you allow it to control your life. Now, I'm not looking at the negative side of despair. Many Christians are in despair. Many Christians are in fear, and it's not the positive side of despair that I'm going to look at tonight. Many Christians are led by their emotions, and they're led by their soul and all of these things, and they get over in this negative side of despair, and then they can't get to God. That is not where God wants us. Amen? We're not supposed to worship God out of our soul. We're supposed to worship God out of our spirit. So despair, believe it or not, has a negative and a positive side. There is a positive side of despair. But most Christians are over in this negative and despair and, you know, gloom and doom. I'm going to go eat worms and all that. And that will never, ever, ever get them to life. Amen? But don't worry. You do not have to recognize despair as a key. God, without your understanding, will turn the lock on your door of an opportunity. Discoveries cannot be realized if you are supported with 50 laden camels. You have all of these wonderful things. You have enough food and you have water. And you have a large and sturdy tent and servants and gold and all that your heart, you know, desires. There is not much discovery you can, you know, where you can lean on God when you have all that you want. All the things, when we have all these things that we want, we're not going to get very far in God. I will promise you that. It's very, very important to have the things that you need. But when we start getting over in, I want this and I want that, and I got to have this. And there's an old saying that said, he who dies with the most toy wins. That's not true. That has never been true. Amen? We need to go ahead and, you know, have those things that God wants us to have. Amen? There is not much discovery that you can learn of God when you have all of your wants. I have found that out. Somehow God separates us from our bounties and our provisions, if indeed we have them in the first place. We then have a little. We have a little. Please accept this little bottle of water and these few loaves of fist-sized bread. And that's what Abram gave Hagar in the wilderness of Beersheba just gave her just a little bit of bread and gave her just a little bit of water for her and her son. Wow. Hagar knew that the wilderness was, Hagar knew the wilderness and was thankful for the water and the bread that she had. So Hagar didn't say, hey, give me more water, give me more bread. Hagar didn't say that. Hagar was very, very thankful for the water and the bread because Hagar knew how the wilderness was. This limited provision, strength, it's not going to last for many days. It is not supposed to last long. Amen? It is designed only for the purpose of getting you deep into the wilderness. Wow. You cannot get out of your own, you cannot get out on your low provision and your failing strength. Thus, you are allured into traveling to the wilderness, as our text expresses. So God goes ahead and He will allure you, will trick you to get you into the wilderness. And Hagar knew it was not enough, but she had no choice. She had no choice. Hagar knew that wasn't enough water and it wasn't enough bread, but she knew that she had no choice, that she had to go. Now I can understand that about going into the wilderness, because I will tell you, I went out into the wilderness myself. The first time I went to the Islamic Republic of the Mauritania, I was in a city called Nansakwa. And so it was a beautiful morning. It was about 7 o'clock in the morning, and the sun was just rising, and it was just cool, and it was just beautiful, and it was just wonderful, And I decided to go for a little walk in the wilderness. And so I took off. And I was just walking and just talking to the Lord and just having a good time. Didn't have any water, didn't have any bread, didn't have any provisions with me. And the next thing I knew, it was about 8 o'clock, 8:30, the sun was coming up, and wow, it started getting hot. This is Sub-Saharan in Africa, and it started getting hot, and I started to sweat. I just started sweating really, really hard. And then I knew that if I stopped sweating, then I was in trouble. And sure enough, I stopped sweating. So I started to go into heat prostration. And so I went ahead and I turned around and I started heading back to where I came from. And I was about 2 hours out by this time. That means I had about 2 hours to get back and I had no water. And so I was sweating and then I stopped sweating. And then all of a sudden the Lord drops into my spirit. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He leadeth me beside the still waters. And that is translated, He brings me from one watering hole to the next watering hole. From one place of provision to the next place of provision. Now, how important is water to you in the desert, in the wilderness? It's life or death. And so I had no water. Just like Hagar had a little bit of water, but that was enough to get her into the wilderness. I had just enough water in my body to get me into the wilderness. So God could teach me a lesson here. And so God, as we go ahead and read the story with Hagar, how God saves her and so forth and so on. But here, God hadn't saved me. And as I turned and I started heading back to where I was staying, that He leadeth me beside the still waters. He leadeth me beside the still waters. And the more that I kept concentrating on that and allowing the Lord to speak to that, the stronger and the stronger and the stronger I got, to where I was almost running back in, when I got in. And of course, I had some water, how refreshing, and it was just a wonderful story that the Lord, taught me that He will lead us beside the still waters, even if there's no waters there. Just a wonderful story, amen. But we are, we have been allured into traveling into the wilderness, as the text expressed, lured into the wilderness to speak to her heart. Wow. And she knew it. Hagar knew it. It was not enough for her to make it to the wilderness, but she had no choice. We are given enough by our Heavenly Father to get us into the wilderness, amen. We are given enough by our Heavenly Father to get us to the wilderness. We go into the wilderness on the strength of the provision given to us by God. He will and there meet us there. So where is God? God is in the wilderness waiting for us. There in the wilderness is our greatest, is where our greatest victory. We will be the most, there in the wilderness, our greatest discovery will be the most insignificant in our own eyes. We will discover our own weakness. Nobody wants to discover their weakness. Everybody wants to know their strength. Oh, I can do this, and I have this strength, and that's not what God wants us to discover. God does not want us to discover our strength. God wants us to discover our weaknesses, because He is supposed to be our strength. Because when we are weak, then He is strong. Amen? After our salvation experience, we are not headed to heaven. We're not headed to our destiny in Christ. I don't know how many times I've heard that. No. After our salvation experience, we are headed to only one place, and that is the wilderness. The wilderness. So that we can gain in God. So that we can lose of ourselves. So we can lose of our strengths and our abilities and all of these things. Because in God, we gain by what we lose of ourselves. You know, we think we gain in God by how long we can speak in tongues or how long we can pray and do all of these things, but that is not what measures our gain in God. Our gain in God is measured by what we lose of ourselves and what we lose of this world. So if we cannot lose anything of ourselves, we cannot lose our love for the world. Love not this world, nor the things in it. If we can't lose these things of ourselves, then we will never gain in God. I don't care what church you go to. I don't care how much money you give to the church. I don't care what you do in church. I don't care how long you speak in tongues. I don't care how spiritual you act. You will never, ever gain in God unless you lose those things that are ungodly of yourself and that love that we have for the world. That is the first place that we're headed. And that's why Christian experience and God don't work 90% of the time. Okay, I walk the aisle, I'm a Christian, and then when God begins to work in your life and God begins to show you some things, you know, God just gives you a little bit of provision, that salvation experience, and gets you off into the wilderness. I'm in the wilderness now. He starts to work in your life and starts to teach you and train you a little bit. Then they, no, I don't want that. And so they leave and they just fall out of God. Well, that's why, you know, that's why that Christian experience usually doesn't last in most Christians. Amen. We then of ourselves, amen, we then discover our weakness, which is more important than knowing our strength. Never ever worry about knowing your strength. Let me say that again. Never ever worry about knowing your strength. It is more important that you know your weakness, because your weakness is what God wants to reveal to us, is our weaknesses. Because it is our weaknesses that cause us to stumble and fall out of the way of God, not our strength. It's our weaknesses that cause us not to measure up. It was our weaknesses that caused us to sin and come short of the glory of God, not our strength. So it's very important that we allow God to show us our weaknesses. Amen? Entering the wilderness is done with the strength which one already has, right? And that strength is the provision that we've had, even from ourselves, and what God gives us. And then we're on our way to the wilderness. There in the wilderness, that strength is spent. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants to bring us into hard situations and situations that are difficult. And He wants us to spend our strength there in those situations. He wants us to run all of our strength out so that He can strengthen us with might in the inward man. Then when one who has entered the wilderness comes out, she is leaning on her beloved. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Song of Solomon 8:5, and I would believe this should be one of yours also. Who, and that is a question, who is the person? Is it you? Is it me? Who is that person that cometh up from the wilderness? Wow. Well, they're in the wilderness. Who is that person coming up from the wilderness? And what are they doing? They are leaning upon their beloved. Wow. Well, where do you get to lean on your beloved? Well, the Lord is the beloved. Well, the beloved is in the wilderness with the person. And who is that person that is coming up from the wilderness, leaning on the beloved? Well, I raised thee up. I raised thee up upon the apple tree where my mother brought me forth. She has brought thee forth that bear thee. Amen. But who is that that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning on the beloved? The who is the one who has a heart for God and has lost their self strength and their ability, and now they are depending on God. Now they are leaning on God. Now they are leaning on the beloved. Leaning there means to prop up or depend on for survival. And I can tell you, when I was in the Islamic Republic of Mauritania, I was depending on the Lord for survival. Because if He didn't drop, those words in my spirit, I would have probably died out there that day. But I was leaning on the Lord. He propped me up, and I was depending upon Him for survival. This person here, she exhausted herself. She has spent the provisions and strength which enabled her to journey into the wilderness. So God gives you that salvation experience and gives you, some things and just to get you into those hard times and those difficult areas and all of those things. You know, it gets you in there. And she has spent all of that stuff that God has given her in that salvation experience. And now she's in the wilderness. This is necessary. This is what God wants. And this is His plan for us. This is His plan for us. His plan is to get us into the wilderness where He is so we can lose our self-strength and all of that stuff in us so we can learn how to lean upon Him. Therefore, God cannot send us into the wilderness with a great supply. God could not send Hagar and Ishmael into the wilderness with a great supply because God wanted Hagar to depend upon the Lord, believe it or not. The sooner we come to a place of no self-strength and we see no self-importance in us, the sooner we will discover the life and the lesson that God is trying to teach us in the wilderness. So in each situation, in each wilderness experience that we go to, God is trying to train us. He's trying to teach us. There are things that He wants us to learn in these wilderness experiences. It's not about sin. It's not about sin. There is character issues. There is things that God wants to teach us. And He brings us there. He brings us into these areas so that we can learn to come out of the wilderness leaning upon Him. Some refuse the wilderness as part of their Christian living. Let me say that again. Most Christians will refuse the wilderness as a part of their Christian living. It doesn't play into the typical religious genre. Oh, no, it's a wilderness experience, and that's your over in sin, brother. Well, that's not true. That is not true. The wilderness experience of those difficult times in our life that God wants to train us, and He can only train us in these hard, very difficult times in our life. They miss that which God has planned for them. These are divine spiritual arrangements, as I said at the beginning. Those seven wildernesses that we looked at so far, they were all spiritual setups. They were divine arrangements that God had enabled for the children of Israel. And God also has divine arrangements for each and every one of us so that He could teach us if we have a desire to learn. They were to come out of the wilderness with an addition of great riches. And so God brings us into the wilderness and His goal is to get us to lose our self-strength, our self-importance, all these things of the world so that we can come out with the riches that He gives us. Those secret riches, those ones that are in darkness, give us those riches. God designed to enrich all of our life. This is why salvation experiences does not stick. It doesn't stick. I mean, how many people have you heard, yeah, I became a Christian, next thing you know, they're back in the world? Well, it's because God has led them to the wilderness, and They didn't want that. They didn't want to go through the dealing and judgments of God to where God could show them some things, and then they rejected and they're back out in the world. When one is in the Song of Solomon, went into the wilderness, she was not leaning on her beloved. She was leaning on her self-strength. But when she comes out, she was. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning on her beloved? Leaning on her beloved. Wow. Of invaluable worth. Wow. With gain, while spending time with God. Her beloved in the wilderness. You want to ask, where is God? I will tell you where God is. He's everywhere, but he's also in the wilderness. And I would say he's in the wilderness for each and every one of us. God will lean us and take us into a wilderness experience so that he can train us. The Bible tells me that the way that I read the Bible is that God is definitely in the wilderness and he's waiting for us to get there. Amen. This is God's plan for our life, to head out into the wilderness, to lose as much of ourselves and of the world so that we can learn from him. Amen. Some parting thoughts. This picturesque arrangement, as far as the will and desire of God are concerned, is absolutely essential. Let me say this again. This wilderness experience is absolutely essential. And anybody that discounts it and anybody that writes it off will never, ever get very far in God. Because unless you allow God to deal in your life and you know, deal and judge in your life, then you're in religion. You're in religion. And religion will never, ever get you to God. The only thing that will get you to God is God dealing and judging in your life and bringing you into some realizations and so that you can learn of him. Amen? But most Christians never accept the little bread and the little jug of water from the Lord to get them into the wilderness. Discovery, revelation, how wonderful they are. They are so tasty that we consider ourselves as having arrived and eaten the total provision of God. Actually, after despair, we have just made the very first and fundamental discovery. So despair, so wandering brings us into despair. And actually, after despair, we have just made the very first and fundamental discovery. We are just getting started. All that God has for us is found not in the land that flows with milk and honey, not in the pleasant times, in the good times, and all of that. That is not what God has for us. All that God has for us is in the wilderness, not in the land that flows with milk and honey, but the land of despair and lack. Amen? And discovery and revelations are waiting for us. So I would say, the sand is hot. Lace up your sandals, my brothers and sisters. Amen?
Amen.